morning.
Good morning.
And welcome. Especially if you're visiting, we welcome you. Are we having children's church?
Yep.
Okay, so the kids are dismissed to go to that. I got notes, and they're big. So I can see. Not always that easy anymore. But this morning, I just want to talk a little bit about God, of course, my favorite subject.
Amen.
So that's what I want to talk about with you. And we're going to go through some scriptures here. And particularly 1 John. So if you've got your Bibles, you want to turn to 1 John. You're going to take a look at that. I mean, and there is so much in here that it's really hard to cover everything. And I don't say that to say, I'm going to be up here for a long time. Because that's not the case. I'm going to try to, keep it short and we can get out. Yeah. We can get out and enjoy the Son, Jesus, and the Son. But that's what it's about, and that's what we're going to talk about. Let's pray to start out. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you, God, and to learn of you, and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise your name. And that's why we're here, God. We gather together collectively to worship you, to sing praise and honor and glory to your name, God, and to hear your word and to glean from that, God, what you have to say to each and every one of us, God. We're all in a different place, but you know exactly where we are. You know exactly what to say. And I pray, God, that you use me today to speak your word, God, the simplicity of the gospel, God. And I pray that you be glorified here. I thank you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I try to keep it simple as best I can. And sometimes, everybody, that's what's great about our elders. We're all different. We're really different. And that's a good thing, because we approach things differently and we can come from different, just like the four gospels. That's the way us four elders are. We have a different perspective of it, so we can come together and give each one of our perspectives. Eric, of course, is a great teacher. Pat and Heath, and I'm more of a preacher. I'm more of a, let's get out there and go. Let's do this. Let's do it together as much as we can. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. And first, I'm going to try to keep it to just 1 John chapter 1. I don't think we'll get into chapter 2, because if you'll notice that, and I think they're in here pretty much every week, the questions. And Heath wrote the questions, but they're really good. And at the end, I would really like to talk about that just a little bit before we close. So just a heads up that we will kind of go through these and talk about it a little bit, because I think they're worth visiting and looking at and just sharing about. So better record this, or I'm going to hear it from Heath. So. This thing is not user-friendly, let me tell you. So bear with me here a minute. You got these little slide things that you can barely hold up. garden. That's as good as it's going to get. Third. Sorry, Heath.
You're hungry.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm just going to go. I think it's recording. I'm not sure. But like I said, it's not really user-friendly, but it is what it is. God knows. And I just want to get the word and go into it and talk about it and share with you guys what I feel the Lord's laid on my heart about this. And so first I'm just going to kind of read through this a little bit, and then we'll go back through and talk about it. Okay, so 1 John chapter 1, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we look upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the light that was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Walking in the light, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness." That's a great verse to remember. I'm sure probably a lot of you already do, but it's such a great verse. And the one even before that is really good too. And we'll talk a little bit about that. It says, "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So I just want to read through that first, and then we'll go back through and talk a little bit about it. Our men's breakfast was Saturday, and Ross gave we do like a little sermon, if you will, just talk with the guys about it. Ross talked about fellowship and the importance of that. It was really good, and it really brings that reminder back to us. And John here is talking also about fellowship, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But it's so important that we have that fellowship, and we come together collectively as the body of Christ and fellowship with one another. We need each other. Believe it or not, we're created for to be a collective unit together. That's right. We're not meant to be by ourselves. We're meant to be together. Amen. So we need that, and God knows that, and he tells us that, you know, forsake not the assembly. Come together. You know, I need you guys. You need me. And we all need each other. It's very important that we have that. So we'll talk a little about that. But get my notes here and go through this. John says, and forgive me if I say Paul, because sometimes I do that. When you talk about the New Testament, a lot of times it's Paul, because Paul wrote so much of it. I might say Paul, so forgive me if I do that. I forget sometimes, but in verse 1 he says that which is from the beginning. It's interesting that, he says that, because it's the same in John 1, in the beginning. And if John was the first of the Gospels, the New Testament would be starting exactly the way the Old Testament did. in the beginning. And this is about God. And that's what we want to do. We want to get on board with God and God's purposes for our life. That's what this is about. That's why we're here, to hear from God, to know Him better through His Word, and to walk. And that's something we're going to talk about here. He says that that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, and I key in on words a lot of times, like, or so that, something like just, it's relevant. Things that you wouldn't think are really relevant. It's like, we know that therefore, when it says therefore anytime, you have to go back and look about, well, what's he talking about? What's the scripture saying? It's therefore, so you go back and read, that's what it's there for. He goes on to clarify, this is what it's for. And it's that, kind of like that, so that, the same thing. It's important. It's like, okay, so that, what is the purpose? Because God is a God of purpose. Everything He does has purpose. And it brings back to understanding, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, He will set you past through. See, understanding is, we don't get to understand everything, but, you know, we have to trust God when we don't understand. It's like, God, why? Why is this happening to me? Why is, we may not know why, we may not understand, but we can know that God has purpose. There's a purpose in it for my best interest. And so if all things work together for good, then in some way, this is going to work out. God can use that in our lives, those tragic things that we just don't understand. There can't be any rhyme or reason to this. How can this be? How can this be a good thing? And yet, somehow, God can work as only God can, because He's God. And He sees the whole picture. And it's like a puzzle. Only each one of us are a piece of that puzzle. And we're all different, but we come together, and together we make the whole picture. And so it's very important to understand that God has a purpose, even especially when we don't understand. Because I guarantee you, there's a lot of you probably thinking, there's things going on in my life right now that I don't really understand. Why God's allowing, why is this happening? And, you know, we can all pretty much relate to that, or at least could at some point in time. But we have to know that God is trustworthy and that we can trust Him even when we don't understand. So that's what we do. That's what we have to learn, that's so important that we do that. So God, God is a God of purpose. And getting back to this, which we have heard, John says, and I key in on words like that, we heard, is we talked about it in Sunday school, and he talked about it in his message a couple weeks back, I think it was. Well, first Romans 10:17, wants to say, faith cometh by hearing. You have to hear in order to respond. So if faith comes by hearing, then who's the one speaking? God is the one speaking. God's speaking to our hearts, and God is drawing us to Himself. So we hear, when we hear, we respond to that. That's the call of God. When the call of God comes to your heart, you hear that. You will hear that for sure. And so, because that's God calling. But He says, which we have heard, and here He's talking about, at the beginning, He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Christ. And He's saying that this is what we've seen and heard, and we're telling you about this. You know, He's excited about this, and He's He's sharing basically his testimony and who Christ is, and sharing it with us basically through the Word. Faith cometh by hearing. Ephesians 13, it says, in him also when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And he talked about this, and it's such a great scripture because it's saying that God speaks and we heard the word of truth. You hear that. And so you respond to that, you believe, and you receive, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's God's gift to us. Realize how privileged we are to have the Holy Spirit of God in us. Amen. That's such, when we get to heaven, we're going to know, wow, this is a big deal. It's a very big deal. And God not only gave us the Holy Spirit, but he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And we all know what seal means, to seal something, and we're actually sealed with the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you don't lose the Holy Spirit. You don't become unsaved. And the best quote, you guys know I've said it many times, one of my favorite quotes is, and it's pretty profound when you think about it, but he said, and I think it was John MacArthur I read, he said, if you could lose your salvation, you would. And man, that hit me like a ton of bricks. It's like, wow. And see, I can't gain my salvation. I can't lose it because it's a God thing. God seals you and me with his Holy Spirit because that's who he is. That's his character. That's the gift that he's given us. And so we are the privileged, you know, people in the New Testament to have that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so this is a great verse. Sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee. There it says a guarantee. Guarantee. You're going to go all the way. If you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, you're born again. Excuse me. You're going all the way. Okay? Because it's a God thing. Do we fail? Do we fall down? Do we sin? Oh boy. And I'm like Paul, the chief of all sinners. So I know all too well what that's like. But, you know, we're humans. We make mistakes. But, you know, but God's part. There's God's part and there's our part. And God's part is great. It's awesome. It's so great what he does for us. It does to what he gives us. And it says, it's who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. We're going to, salvation, someday we're going to go home and be with the Lord. I hope the Lord returns and takes us home, but if not, he'll take us home through death, and we will spend eternity with him. How great is that? Is that awesome or what? I mean, should we be excited about that? I think that we should be. That's a hope that we have as believers. Always keep that hope in front of you, because this is what is different. The world has no hope. We have hope, and his name is Jesus, and that's a great thing, man. Even in the worst of times, we have hope. We can be excited about that. So, and he says, the inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And then he goes on, which we have seen with our given his testimony about who Jesus is. We have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Who's the word of life? You know who that is. That's right. The word of life. Jesus is life. Amen. And so we have life through him, through his word that tells us that. Verse 2 says, the life was made manifest, and that's to make clear. God is very clear in His Word so that we could know. He says the light was made manifest, and we've seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life. And that's what, again, that's what we have to look forward to. God is very clear. You know, there's no excuse. Romans 1, what's it say? You know, we don't have an excuse. Oh, I didn't know. Yeah, you do know. God is very clear. Through His Word, through His creation, we can know God. We should know God because God has made it very clear. He says His life is made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. And so He's telling them that this is what God has done. And then He says, and here we're going to talk a little bit about fellowship, because fellowship is huge. It's important as believers how much we need that. And verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So John said, dude, I'm telling you, we have seen and touched, I'm telling you, this is the truth, and we have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And He says, and we want that for you. I'm telling you, He's proclaiming it to us so that we can have that same fellowship. And another word for fellowship is companionship. And I almost kind of like that word better. It seems like when you walk with Jesus, He's your companion. And you walk side by side, hand in hand with Him. That's that fellowship, companionship that John's talking about, and says that this is what I want for you. I'm telling you, this is such a great thing that I want to tell everybody about it. I want to tell you guys about it so that you can have that fellowship too. You can be excited. Yeah, this is great. We have fellowship with Jesus. Really? We, God, the Creator of the universe? This is a big deal. It's awesome. So we can have that companionship. I like that word. And John said, he wants us to have that like they have with the Father and with Jesus Christ. Verse 4, he says, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Joy and happiness are two different things. You can not be happy but still have joy. And the joy that comes from the Lord, that is that inner peace, and what only Jesus can give us is that joy unspeakable and full of glory that we can have even through trial and tribulation. Oh man, this is hard. I know pretty much all of you have been through trial and tribulation. And if you can stand up and give your testimony, you tell us, oh man, I've been through this, and this is hard, this is really tough. But I still have joy. Because joy is something that only comes from God. The godly joy that we can have. Not the worldly joy that's fleeting, this happiness that it's this constant pursuit. I'm trying to be happy every day. I'm pursuing that all the time. We can have joy in the midst of tribulation because of God. Because we have God. We have Jesus, the Savior, in our hearts. The Holy Spirit who enables us, equips us, who fills us. And man, these are big things that we have that God's given us, that we can have that joy that He gives us. And so John's saying, I want you guys to have that joy too. Amen. This is great, man. I want you to have that joy. So, verse 5, he says, this is the message, and this is kind of my message, the same thing. We have heard, there's that word, heard. You got to hear before you respond. From him and proclaim to you that God is light. And that's what I really want to talk about a little bit here, is this First John is so good. God is light, and he goes on, God is love. And maybe another sermon will do the love part of it, which is awesome in and of itself too. But look, this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So, scripture is very clear about light. When you think about light, I really, you know, was able to think about this. And sometimes you don't get, we enjoy the sun. The sun's great. I love it, man. Can't wait to get out and enjoy it. I don't think nobody likes the sun more than the Pacific Northwest, right? Because we don't get it all the time. When we get it, it's like, yeah, the sun's out. Everybody's in their cars, they're out going, they're doing stuff, they're outside. People love the sun here in the Pacific Northwest because we just don't get it all the time. But that's the light that God gives, that we can have that same joy in knowing him, even when it is cloudy and gray, like it is so much of the time here. But he says that God is light, and in him is no darkness. So this is who God is. God is light. And it's interesting, too, that light, one of the things about light is it symbolizes knowledge and purity. And, we see the light, when you look at even in the Old Testament, the light of Moses, when he saw God in the burning bush, what happened? His face shone to where he had to be veiled because of the light of God. You hear people say that, yeah, they had a near-death experience, and they're walking toward the light. It's a light. And so, I don't know if that's just something that they got from Scripture, or if it's true, or, it certainly could be true because God is light, right? So we certainly could walk toward the light if that's the case. But we don't know that for sure. But and Paul's conversion, the light blinded him. Once again, the light we see. And light, the thing about light, I thought about this, is that light, one of the things it does, it exposes us. And I'm going to share the scripture because it's a great scripture, too, about how light exposes us. And I think one of the things I came up with is about living transparent. If God is light, okay, and we're believers, then we really need to live transparent and being open before God. And that's kind of really what the gist of this is about. Okay, we know God is light. Okay, so what does that mean to me? I'm an application kind of guy. He's like, okay, we have to ask the questions. And it's all good, don't get me wrong, but I give him a hard time. And then the last is application. It's like, I want to go right to the application. How does the scripture apply to me? Because I need it every day in my walk. So I want to go right to the application. So, but he keeps me on track. So I'm glad for that. But 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership hath righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship hath light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God. He will be our God. I want that. Amen. I want God to be my God. And we will be his people. I love that. That's one of my favorite scriptures, that God will be our God and we will be his people. Yeah, I want to be God's people. Who do you want to associate with? Who do you want to identify with? I want to identify with God. Yeah, because God is so great and so gracious and so awesome. That's who we want to be, people that identify with God. And he is our God and we are his people. He says, therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Sons and daughters, man. That's such a great scripture. Yeah. And really, that scripture, it's the heart of God. It really is. God loves us. He wants that relationship with us. He wants to be, you know, our God, and for us to be his people. That's really what he wants. You look at all through the Old Testament and leading up to Christ in the New Testament. It's that fellowship. Relationship is fellowship. And it's so important that, you know, we have that. Because that's the heart of God. That's what God desires. God wants that. And when we line up, we want that too. I want that. God is like, yeah, let's do this. Let's come together. And the problem, as most of you all know, is sin, of course. In John 3:19 and 21, he says that this is the judgment. Here we go. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So God is light, and yeah, the world hates the light. What you see on the news and you see on TV all the time with the people, the hatred, is the truth is, according to this, is that they hate God. They hate the light. They hate the light because it shines on their evil deeds, and they hate that. And you can see it. You think about that for a minute. You think about the light. The light, what's the light do? God exposes sin. That's what he does. And the world hates that. They hate that. But we, it's different for us. We as believers, we love the light. What you say? But whoever does what is true, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. What is true? God's word is true. Jesus is the truth. But whosoever does what is true comes to the light. So as true believers, you are going to come to the light because God is light. Amen. And you are going to walk accordingly that way. Be open before God. Because the truth is, you think you're not open before God? Do we think that somehow the things that we do in secret, in darkness, that God doesn't know about? No, God knows everything. It's all light to him. And so we have to deliberately, and I'll talk a little bit about that. First, I'm going to read verse 6. If we say we have fellowship, here's that word, I like that, walking companionship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And practice the truth. being deliberate, being transparent. This is basically the gist of my message, is that we need to walk in the light. What is walking? Walking is moving, continuous movement. When you walk with God, you're continuously moving forward into the light. We should continuously be walking into the light, closer and closer. We'll never, ever get there. You know, never in a thousand lifetimes. I know I'd never get there. But that's the way we walk. We walk in the light. It's deliberate. It's a deliberate act of our will that I have to choose every day when I get up, that I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to be deliberate about that. And I'm going to be transparent. God sees everything. And I'm going to live my life that way. God sees my innermost thoughts, everything I think. You know, and Jonathan preached about that in his sermon. It was really good. It's one of my favorite scriptures, is about bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And that's the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be transparent. And being in control. If you're not in control of your thoughts, you ever think about that? Who's in control of your thoughts? Are you? Are you controlling everything you think? Okay, I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to do it. Are you just floating along with whatever? You're just kind of going along the way it is. We have to take control, because we have a very real enemy that attacks us all the time. He doesn't let up. That's what he does. And so we have to be deliberate. You have to walk. If you're going to walk in the light with God, it's continuous. I'm going to keep moving, man. I got to keep going to God. Somebody said that if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. There's not a plateau. You don't get to sit down and think about it for a while or rest for a minute. You're either going forward, you're either walking in the light toward God, or you're sliding backwards. It's that slow fade that you just don't see most of the time. Most people that get into this huge pit, what do they say? They say that, man, I didn't see it coming. It was so gradual. It's that slow fade, because you're not deliberately walking transparent into the light. That's our responsibility. That's what we have to do. And that's what I'm challenging myself to do every day. And you guys, to do that. To be deliberate when you get up in the morning. I have to do this. I got to walk with God. There's like no other option. We don't have another option. You do, but you don't, right? We have to walk with God. We have to be deliberate. And so that's a challenge, is that. Verse 7, he says, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship, true godly fellowship with one another and with God. We have fellowship, and that's what we're talking about, that companionship. See, I walk in the light, you guys are walking in the light. We have fellowship. We have companionship, and we have fellowship and companionship with God, because God is light. And so that's the challenge. That's the pursuit, that we want to walk in the light and be deliberate about it. He says, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And this is why I really believe that he's saying here, and I'm going to read a little bit more. The blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Okay? Cleanses, I really believe it's an ongoing thing, that God cleanses us of all righteousness, because we sin, right? So God has to cleanse us. But what we do is we repent of our sins. That's our responsibility. You know, what did Jesus say? You know, forgive my trespasses. I forgive those who trespass me. We confess our sins. We repent of our sins. And God cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And so it's this ongoing walk. As I'm walking, God cleanses me. I fall down. God, forgive me. I'm sorry I blew it. God, please forgive me. And God cleanses me. And you continue to walk in the light. You get, because the truth is, we really can't do it. It's God that does it. It's always God. What was it I heard that if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's me. Pretty much. And that's probably a good way to put it. But, you know, we, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then he cleanses us. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood is what cleanses us. God cleanses us of all unrighteousness as we walk with him in the light. Because we fall, we make mistakes. If that wasn't the case, we wouldn't have to worry about it. God cleansed me and I'm cleansed. And, you know, we could really go into that, but I'm not going to go real deep into that. Like what takes place when we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit, and our sins are washed away. But I believe there's also a walking with God in the light and being exposed to him, living openly before God. And when we fall, we repent and we ask God's forgiveness, and God cleanses us of all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And you know, so many people have this self-righteousness. Well, I'm a good person. I know some people that really think they're going to go to heaven because they're good people. Why would God turn them away? You know, but that's not what the scripture says. You know, we all are sinners. And you know what? It levels the playing field. We're all sinners. We're all broke. This is a hospital. That's what this is. We're all here because we're broke. We all need Jesus. We're all sinners. That's why we're here. And so, if you say you don't have any sin, then you don't need a Savior, I guess, right? So, but we need a Savior. And we cry out to him every day, I pray. Okay, then he says, you know, and I, like I say, repentance, that's our responsibility. There's God's part and there's our part. Repentance is what we do. We acknowledge our sin. Because we are walking and living transparent before God. We are walking in the light. So, okay, let's go on to verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Probably most of you know this verse already, but I love it. It says, he is faithful. It doesn't say Jeff is faithful, because Jeff is not. I fall down. I make mistakes. But God is faithful. And that's the beauty of it as a believer, as we walk in the light. God is continuously working on us. And what's it say? Conforming. I love it. Conforming us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. God tried to make us look like Jesus. That's what he's doing. So if we confess our sin, there's that confessing. It's our responsibility. We have to confess. And he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So our responsibility is to walk. And really, really walking in the light and being transparent. You know, you can't. If God is light, then, and you're walking with him, you're walking in the light, walking openly. And God sees everything, because like you say, he does anyway. But we have to deliberately be conscious of that. Hey, God knows my thoughts. I need to really check my thoughts. Make sure, you know, bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Is that easy? None of this stuff's easy. It's not easy. But it's the right thing to do. It's what we're called to do. We're called to live and walk in obedience in the light before God. Being transparent. I really like that too. Because, you know, that's being open. Saying, God, I love you. And I want to be open before you. And, you know, deliberately be open before you. So, I probably better get to these questions here, because they're really good. And basically, we walk and we repent, and God forgives and cleanses us. In a nutshell, that's kind of what the gist of it is. That God is always faithful on his part. If we come to him, God, I'm sorry, I repent of my sin. God always forgives us of our sin when we repent. Because, you know why? Because that's who he is. That's his character. That's the kind of God he is. A righteous, holy God who is merciful. Man, I love that word. Because I need mercy. I need mercy. God is merciful. Man, I tell you. Okay, so real quick, we'll just go through these questions. And this is something that you have your bulletin to do. Kind of, if you can, reflect on these, because it's really good, and I want to do the same thing. So the first one, he says, how have you experienced both light and darkness during the last couple of years? We all have experienced light and darkness, I'm sure. Times that we've walked through, and times when we failed, and times when we're victorious. And that's the Christian walk. It's never, I do everything right, and I'm a great Christian, and I don't know about that. What's that verse? Pride goeth before a fall, Proverbs. So be careful when you start saying things like that. Hopefully most of us aren't saying those things. But yeah, reflect on these questions, because they're really good, and they challenge us to self-examine. Not over-examine, you know, but self-examine and say, where am I? Check myself. Okay, God, I want to be right. I want to be open. I want to be deliberate. And so make sure we do that. Okay, why is fellowship as important? An important part of walking in the light. Well, others are walking in the light, and we help each other. We need that. And, you know, I may be struggling, and you're, you know, on the mountain. I'm in the valley. So we help each other out with bouncing. Then next week, it's the other way around. So that's why it's so important to come together. You know, we can share those things and have that fellowship. But I'm not wanting to give you all the answers. I want you guys to look at these for yourself. He says, what are some lies we tell ourselves and others? Wow, that's really good. What do we need to remember about sin and forgiveness? You know, we talk about that, you know, confessing and repentance. What are you thankful for this week? Being thankful, that's it. You know, when you acknowledge God and what he's done, man, how can you not be thankful? You know, I'm telling you. What's your Bible reading and prayer plan for the week? Heath will probably give us that. It's been great to be able to just follow that plan and read through these books and, you know, just really glean from God's Word. So, basically, that's all that happened. We'll get out of here and let you guys enjoy the sun and the sunshine. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to come together and to know you through your word, God. We're just so grateful that you chose us before the foundation of the world. God, it's all about you. And We are so blessed. Help us to see that. Help us this week to be mindful. Maybe when we see the sun, to remember that we walk in the light as God is in the light. God is light. You are light, God. Help us always remember that and to walk according, to be delivered and to be transparent before you, God, and to be willing to acknowledge our sin and confess and repent and turn to you, God. Praise your holy name. Bless each one here and their families. Give them traveling mercies home. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name.